Marine Corps Systems Command collaborated with Marine Corps Recruiting Command to develop the Marine Corps Recruiting Information Support System, also known as MCRIS. This system has been vital in streamlining recruiting operations, enabling the command and control of systematic recruiting operations across all distributed locations from coast to coast. The latest version, MCRIS 2, is a mobile platform that provides Marines with their recruiting needs from the moment they meet an applicant to the time they leave for boot camp. Today I'm joined by one of AFCEA's 40 Under 40 award winners and the program manager for MCRIS, Mr. Jason Glavich. Thanks for coming on the show, Jason. First of all, I got to ask you, 40 Under 40, are you the top 40 of AFCEA? What was that award about?
Yeah, so every year AFCEA does, it's called Junior AFCEA because you're under 40. Gotcha. So they guess they call it Junior under 40.
Yeah, I don't qualify anymore. But anyway, go ahead.
Yeah, they do a top 40 kind of in the technology realm for making change. There's not a ranking out of the 40, I found out, unfortunately. But so there were 40 award winners in 2020. And so I was nominated for the work with transitioning to agile programs and some work that I'd done on my program. So it was, definitely a big honor. Fortunately, 2020 moved the award presentation about six times until they did it virtually. So it was a little interesting.
All right. I was going to talk about that later, but I wanted to knock that right out of the ballpark as soon as we started because I was curious about that. Listen, before we jump into the conversation, do me a favor. Tell us a little bit about yourself and how you ended up here in this acquisition team of ours.
So I joined the Marine Corps, 17 years old. Got stationed out in Trinidad Palms after Combalec Maintenance School. Mm-hmm. After a couple deployments, looking through, there's a hot fill for 2800s to go to the EFE program. So I was able to put in for it, got selected by the chief warrant officer who was out there at the time, came out and was not aware if I was going on an acquisition program, so it was a bit of a shock. Really enjoyed it. Spent 5 years there. Got out of the Marine Corps in 2010 as a staff sergeant, and then moved right on to continuing acquisitions as a contractor supporting, at the time, was DC SIAT, now DC SEAL.
Okay.
So, kind of been on acquisitions since 2005.
So, again, I'll just go back in time a little bit, because when you mentioned the EFE, you probably didn't even know what the acronym was when you were getting into it, but the Expeditionary Fighting Vehicle, which we both were on back in those days, what was your role there?
My initial role, I came there as a Combalec maintenance subject matter expert.
Okay.
Worked in the
so you weren't physically the guy fixing, repairing, you were...
Not initially.
Okay.
Right, so we were brought in as kind of the guys to help write the manuals, make sure the comm systems were designed right. It eventually morphed into working on the command variant, doing engineering work there, gotcha. Doing testing. So we kind of, the Marines were on the program at the time, I think we had 30 plus Marines at one time on there. Had a lot of different roles to make sure that when that vehicle got to the fleet, that it had all the touches the Marines wanted, not just what the requirements said.
So I've recorded a few conversations in the past here, and one of the things I like to talk about is the fact that engineers generally do a lot of great stuff, but often at times, we forget this little thing called Marine proof. Like I'm not going to put my weapon in that place that you think I'm going to. I'm going to put it someplace completely different. So I'm assuming you and the rest of the folks on that team, the rest of the uniform folks, were providing that Marine expertise that the engineers and logisticians and others needed.
Yes, and that was one of the big pieces was taking what they designed and saying, is it practical for use?
Right.
Is the keyboard where a Marine could use it? Is the intercom useful where they could use it? And they really turned to the Marines on the program to say, okay, if you were in this vehicle, how would you use it or how would it not benefit you? So a lot of those things wound up coming out if we had what's called the Marine IPT that would then feed into the engineering change team to make changes.
Yeah. So what were some of the things you learned from that? I don't want to reminisce too much, but take us back a little bit. Time engaging with the Marines out in the fleet.
Yeah.
What was it like for a young Marine to be working in a massive program office, the Marine Corps' only direct reporting program
right.
at the time?
I will say I came there as a very young corporal.
Okay.
It was a eye-opening experience to understand. Coming from the fleet, you don't know how your equipment gets to you, right? Things show up and you just assume that somebody somewhere did something, but you don't see all the work that goes into it. So when we went there, it was definitely different because you have, as you said earlier, the multitude of people from logistics to engineers, mm-hmm. With a colonel in charge of the program that we would speak with which isn't normal for the corporal on the street to talk to the colonel every day. Right. But it's really the interaction. And to me, it was what kind of led me to kind of, you know, wanting to work in exercises was those people are dedicated to giving the Marines a good product, right? There was nobody there who was just there. You know, they had some tie to the Marine Corps, and it was like, these people really care. They want to get a good product out there. I was like, this is a good way to make an impact.
I like to use the word passion. There was definitely a lot of passion out there.
Yeah. Yes, there was.
All right, so let's fast forward a little bit. So you got out of the Corps and did some stuff. How did you end up coming back here to CISCON?
I was working supporting DC SEAL.
Okay.
Was still familiar with the people that I worked with on EFV. Was in contact with one of the product managers at the time, and we were chatting, and the opportunity for this, the MCRIS program came up. I didn't know much about recruiting other than when I joined the Marine Corps, so I kind of jumped at the chance. One of the big keys for me was that we weren't going to be held by the traditional acquisition standards. We were going to be able to move forward with how we want to develop it for the Marines rather than the strict guidelines we've used in the past. So that was one of my key factors, was making sure we got it the right way.
So let me just back up a second. Yeah. What is MCRIS? Explain to us what MCRIS is.
So the MCRIS is, as the Marines would describe it, the recruiters would type it, that's their TO weapon, right, that they use to recruit everybody. So it does everything from every name, every person they talk to, every student in a high school around the U.S. and on military installations around. It's what they use to process someone in the Marine Corps. It also tracks every recruiter's mission, their productivity. It's a sales system, documentation. It does your clearances. It's everything that's required to put a Marine in the Marine Corps, from what we call contact through contract or street to fleet. Every recruiter, about 6,000 in total, uses it for every part of the daily job. So it's definitely unique that there's not some other tool they can use, right? So even the current legacy system they're using, they have to use to get their job done. So that's why it was so important to give them a new system, kind of new technology, to make sure it meets their needs.
So long gone are the days where they have their books that they get out and pull out all the contacts and all of that. I'm dating myself in the years I spent out there.
I was going to say, you were a recruiter, right?
No, I was on support staff, both at recruiting station in the district. I actually retired from MCRIC, so I'm well-versed on the multitude of things that you're talking about that goes from contact to contract.
Yes.
So basically a smart tablet all in one hand there. Yeah, both for the recruiter, the leadership team.
All,
you know,
in the
back,
same system.
Yeah, back in those days, the recruiter instructor would call you in and say, okay, how many calls did you make today? How many people did you talk to? So all of that now is at the palm.
Yeah,
palm
so hand. So MCRIS Legacy was built from that paper-based system you're talking about. So they took those old boxes full of cards and they called them cards in the new system. So this was our chance to kind of move away from that, right, to the new MCRIS 2 system. And that was the big piece was, you know, MCRIS Legacy has had a great run. It's about 20 years that it's been out there. Was purpose-built. But it was time, hey, you need to revamp the technology, move to something easier, secure, more maintainable, and kind of take advantage of when industry does new things, right? We want to be able to take advantage of those items.
So when you went from MCRIS to MCRIS 2, are we talking basically a software upgrade to the model? Or?
It's a completely different system.
Yeah,
so the legacy system was 100% custom coded by a number of different companies over the years. MCRIS 2, actually, we took a different path. We went with a commercial vendor for the software platform.
Okay.
So we did a down select, wound up with kind of the one that met the best technical requirements and went with that to build the system on. And one of the big pushes that led to this was whenever that vendor has a new technology, we immediately get it. We're not going to go out and research. And
that's part of MCRIS too.
That's part of MCRIS too, right? Yeah. So if they, as an example, they introduced a way to scan a driver's license and capture the info. Well, that's great. We can get that to a recruiter. They can enter the info faster. So when they release that, we're able to immediately turn that around and give that to the recruiters.
Okay.
And so that's what we're really trying to go for is we're not going to be behind, you know, the private sector when it comes to technology upgrades.
Now, what role did you have personally from MCRIS 1 and MCRIS 2? Have you stayed on both of those programs? Or
yes. So I initially came on and was just a MCRIS 2 project manager.
Okay.
About 2 years in, I took over the legacy program to kind of put them underneath one umbrella. I shared all the people across the teams. That way we brought on, there were two different contractors. We brought them into one team so that everybody knew what everyone was doing with their end goals. The biggest thing for us has been we have recruiters on our team. And that's actually the thing. one of our kind of early requirements was, if we're going to build this based on what Marines need, we need Marines on the program.
So you had dedicated recruiters on the team.
So we have a team of seven Marines, active duty recruiters, from gunnery sergeant through chief and officer four, that are on the team, that are fully dedicated. So when they write the
They work here at CISCOM, or are they at MCRIC?
So they're part of MCRIC.
Okay.
Gotcha. So the
and for those Marine Corps recruiting Marine command Corps. Here at Quantico.
Yes, and so it's interesting. So the general MCRIC actually owns that MOS. A lot of other
right.
don't.
Right.
So he's in a unique position that when we said we'd like some career recruiter Marines to come on the program to help us, that okay, we'll give them to you. We want to see the product, and so what we've been able to do is when there's a question, it's not from a requirements document written 5 years ago. It's from that recruiter. The career recruiter sitting there saying, this is how it needs to be built because I need to do this with it. Which is, to us, making sure the recruiter gets what they need at the end of the day, not something that was written a number of years prior.
Yeah, so my funny you say that because, my thought process is, what's been their feedback? Did MCRIS 2 evolve from recruiter feedback, or was it?
Yeah, so prior to this getting off to kind of the project coming to light, they went and did some surveys and said, hey, what do you need? What are you missing? Right? What's wrong with the current system? There was some redundancy. There was some things causing them to lose hours and a quality of life survey at one point that recruiters weren't very happy, and MCRIS was kind of to blame for it. Those issues have largely been, from legacy standpoint, even resolved. As soon as that came back, we with the recruiting command's help, we said, let's focus, let's hit these issues. But then let's take all that feedback and roll it into a system. So we took that feedback, looked at things they asked for, like they wanted mobile capability. They wanted on their government phone to be able to recruit. So that was one of the big pieces. We worked with the vendor to get it to work with DISA's Purebred, which kind of the first commercial one to have it work.
Right.
And they'll be able to fully log in, do paperwork out at the new applicant's house, anything they need to help move them along. So, and that was a big part of their feedback was, I don't want to be out there and have to carry everything back to my office and then sit there till midnight and type it all in.
What are we going to do now? We can't refer to the recruiter briefcase anymore, the big old box that we used to carry around.
Just be the phone in their pocket.
Yeah,
for now.
Yeah. Well, it sounds like some great technology in the hands of the recruiters. And given how challenging missions continue to be, I'm certainly a tool that they're thankful to have. What's next for MCRIS? I know you talked about, you get new technologies, you move on, but you're looking out to the future, or is that?
Yeah, so one of the big things we want to do in the future is kind of using some of the automated intelligence or the data mining pieces that the cloud offers. There's a big push on how to use the data that we collect to predict things in the future. What leads to attrition at boot camp? What leads to attrition after 4 years versus someone staying in longer?
Right.
So there's multiple groups looking at that right now, and we want to be able to take that, put it in one of the tools that are offered through we use Microsoft Azure as our cloud provider, and use those to ensure that, okay, what are we seeing trends across that we can actually explain? And so we want to bring some of that in. We also want to give eventually the ability for applicants to fill out some of their own forms without having the recruiter do it. That's probably one of the hardest things I'll say that I've observed them do in testing is we've all filled out a SF-86 for our clearance.
Right.
And it's hard enough to do for yourself and you know the information.
Yeah.
You're doing it for someone you've just met.
Right.
And you're trying to fill it out wherever they've lived, things they've done. And there's ways out there now to do that securely to give them access to make sure we're still protecting the data. Moving more to those processes, and then we're kind of tightly coupled with our vendor of the product so that we kind of know where they're going and we can start planning to implement the new things they roll out with each rollout that they do.
So I'm just curious, so within the system, and again, reflecting back on my days supporting the efforts out there, we relied a lot on advertising campaigns out there. Individuals looking through magazines, they see a Marine Corps ad, they fill out a form, and that card goes somewhere, and hopefully in a couple of weeks, some recruiter eventually gets that thing. So if I'm hearing you correctly, we've kind of sped that process along a little bit.
Yeah, so there's actually a sister system to McChrist called the Advertising Information Technology System.
Okay.
That's ran out of Marine Corps Recruiting Command.
Okay.
With Wunderman Thompson, who's the Marine Corps ad agency. So there's AITS 1, which is their legacy system, and AITS 2, which they're getting ready to bring online here in a few months as well. Built on our same platform, so we get some license sharing and some cost reduction there. But that too is going to be where, when you go to marines.com,
right.
You type your info in, within a very short amount of time, your name, if you entered it, will immediately be fed to a recruiter in your zip code. They'll get a notification that says, hey, you have a new hot lead, because they went out, found the site.
They're interested then, not tomorrow.
Right, so call them up.
It's like me selling my car. I put it online, and I was just asking for info, and 20 minutes later, I got...
Exactly. Okay. And so that tight coupling, though, the two, you know, the advertising, the rest of it, obviously we know advertising does a lot more than just send feeds over. It's getting the Marine Corps out there. But us moving those things closer together to where it's all interfaced. It's not somebody in the past. You'd get a hot lead, somebody had to feed it to you manually, and then you'd have to reconcile it. Well, this will all be when somebody enters it, it feeds the system automatically and gets given to that local recruiter.
That's awesome. Moving things in the right direction. So I think I've already said this, but I think you're almost at the top of the mountain. So McChrist is on a steady path going forward.
Yes, we're moving towards an October fielding.
Okay.
So we're in the last steps. We're doing our user acceptance testing.
Okay.
Kind of working those last hurdles, you know. So we're finished up testing.
So coming to the next FY, recruiters.
Turn to the next FY. Yes.
Okay. They'll have this in their hands. Awesome. Well, congratulations. Great stuff on there. And hopefully anything that can support the individual's missions out there, because I know how hard it is to, you know, as we used to say way back then, smile and dial or knock on those doors. So great job on that. Let's talk about something I know you're passionate about, agile. I know you've had a lot of conversations on that. What is it and how important is it to Marine Corps acquisition or acquisition in general?
So agile is a culture of how you develop something, right?
Okay.
Whether it's hardware, software, and you know, if you go to the history of it, it was written by some developers on a ski lodge, you know, 20 some years ago.
Deep in the woods, thinking,
a bunch of people angry with their bosses, right?
Yeah.
But they said, hey, listen, you know, we're the developers here. We see this is wrong with how we do stuff currently. Mm-hmm. And so they kind of wrote was the Agile Manifesto and said a lot of very important things, but their most important things were we value working software over, you know, lots of documentation.
Right.
At the end of the day, if you have lots of documents, the software doesn't work, right, you still don't get fielded. And so that's kind of the premise of why we brought the Marines into the program, right? The Marines aren't acquisition experts, right? When we talk contracts...
Look, I'm not an acquisition expert, so I can certainly relate to that.
Right, their eyes glaze over, right? But when I say, hey, how do your telephone calls feed into your sales percentage? I mean, they light up and they'll go through it. So Agile is really that piece where we're doing a few things. Is one, we're bringing the product owner in, right? So we're bringing those users in and saying, what do you need in a system, right? So one, that ensures that the product you build is what the users want, and not what you thought they wanted. But two, it's that instant feedback loop. When a developer, you know, designs that new page they're going to look at, before they say it's done in our process, the Marines look at it and will say, yes, no, or change this. The developers then can go, right, change it. Is this good? Yes, this is good. Pass on to the Marines. And in our case, the Marines review every item before it goes to done.
Mm-hmm.
And Agile as a concept is just that. We're working in short iterations, anywhere from 2 to 6 weeks normally. We run 2-week, what we call sprints. And what it allows us to do is we categorize work into that 2-week time period. We get everybody on board to agree to it. And we work through those 2 weeks and then we're done, right? Mm-hmm. So that short little duration allows you for that, okay, what went right, what went wrong? Mm-hmm. And that's a big part of Agile too is we have what's called a retrospective in Agile. And we finish our 2-week sprint, and everybody gets to come to the table and in a non-attribution environment, if you will, and say, hey, this worked, mm-hmm. this didn't work, how do we fix it? And so it's the constant improvement process that really starts to help us. And so Agile is all about change, right? So if something didn't work this time, you're going to change it. And so what kind of drove my kind of interest in Agile was I had came from a big vehicle program, right? Where the requirements we were using were written, I don't know how long before, but sometime before.
Years,
right? and we saw when there were requirements that we had to fight to change because they weren't achievable 15 years later.
Right.
And so Agile to me was we had this base framework of we need to do everything for recruiting. We kind of know that box that it goes in.
Right.
But if the policy of yesterday is changed, we don't want to go back and ask somebody, hey, can we change this requirement? Because we have the Marines in the program to say, here's the old form, here's the new form, right? And so Agile opens up a lot of capabilities to make sure that you're staying current. The other piece that I found challenging when I came on was traditional contracts didn't allow for Agile. You had to kind of get creative to where the contracting officers were comfortable with you putting this out there that kind of had some open-endedness to what was going to be built.
Right.
But it was still defined. And so, you know, we did a lot of great work with the contracting officers and, you know, we cut down award times a lot by using Agile practices. And shortly after I came on, the National Defense Authorization Act put two sections out there to run Agile pilot programs, which McChris was one of in 2019. And so it's just kind of been that thing where Agile is finally getting adopted, which I'm glad to see. And I think we're going to see a lot of great things. TDM Catalyst, right, is another Agile program here that just won an award. And so we're really starting to see them take hold. And I think, you know, the more people pursue it, the culture starts to accept this new way.
So is it software only? Or would you say you can apply Agile to pretty much any program?
You can apply it to anything, at least in pieces. Whether it's, you know, building a house, you can have Agile components within it or anything else. There's actually a really interesting story about Agile on the question of how long does it take to build a house?
Mm-hmm.
And if you ask somebody and, you know, they say 6 months, 9 months. And you say, okay, what if we did it Agile and did all these things together? And the most you get down to is about, okay, we could do it in a month.
Right.
And really, it's 4 hours and 21 minutes is the record, right? There's a group that built an entire house from start to finish in 4 hours and 21 minutes. Now, they didn't tell you all the practice that went into it, right? Because that was months and months of work. But their idea was, right, that you had all these separate experts working on, you know, roof experts and truss experts. And it was, you just have to imagine things.
It's kind of like the TV show Extreme Makeover.
It is.
You know, just do it all in basically a weekend.
Right. It's the art of the possible, though, right? Because you're trying to give the customer what they want and at the same time be flexible, right? And that's the biggest thing we know is, you know, from the years in theater, right, with the past, two decades, threats change.
Yeah.
Well, you can't use a requirement from 5 years ago if the enemy has changed. The same way it goes with anything else we use. So there's a lot of application, even on hardware programs, because you can split part of it, you know, into more Agile-esque pieces.
And the other thing, just from my perspective, I mean, we have a phenomenal customer base out there, but they're also a very demanding customer base, and that is our Marines. I mean, you wore the uniform, you understand. So bringing that level of understanding to the guys and gals who are creating, designing, building, and getting the product out is extremely important, I would think.
It is. And you know, the Marines in the program, they know what they're there for, and they have an investment in it because they're going to go back out and use it. And every Marine recruiter, small, you know, like the Marine Corps in general, small, they're going to know who is part of it, right? And so they're very aware that this has meaning. It's going to be here for a long time. So much so that actually, over the course of time, we've actually put those Marine recruiters through developer training.
Okay.
And they've actually developed some modules of the system. But the reason was to have them invested in it.
Right.
To where it is. So the feedback is going to be there. You know, as all new programs will, there's going to be some initial growing pains.
Right.
But overall, it's positive feedback. I mean, the recruiters want more capability, especially in tough years.
Right.
They want any tool they can have to assist them in meeting that mission. I mean, it just gets tougher every year.
Well, I'm certain you're dealing with candidates who are as smart, if not smarter, than some of our recruiters trying to
I'm sure
talk to them about their future. So,
right.
I want to break some news here. You know, you probably didn't know this was coming, but I'm assuming you're going to be the Agile crusader for CISCOM and make sure some of these other programs bite into what you're doing.
I can say that when our program started, we did something a little unique. Every other Friday at the end of our sprint, we would have an open house invite.
Anybody
who would want to come.
Okay.
And we'd have people down from all over CISCOM come down. What are you doing? How are you doing it? We entertained the Air Force for about 2 weeks to see what we do. MEPS or MEPCOM, right? They came down to learn our processes and put it in place with what they were doing. And we did a lot of early work with TDM Catalyst on how we had things set up and working kind of together on things that work best. So we've had a lot of positive feedback. And I see the command that's going more to Agile style. I know POMLB, which my group now falls underneath, there's a big Agile push there as well because they realize that the one hard part, though, is getting that product owner on board.
Yeah.
Because not every, you know, buddy owns their MOS for their Marines.
Right.
And, you know, every Marine not out in the fleet is a Marine off the battlefield. So sometimes
absolutely. I mean, I've dealt with programs, you know, trying to get Marines to do operational assessment, operational testing. It takes a long time. You know, we go through efforts here where we put gear in the hands of Marines. We'll do limited user evaluation, things of that sort, and all of that requires time. So
it's time away from their unit. Right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And all the other things that they have to do. Hey, one other quick thing. So now that you got your hands on this additional MOS and those recruiters, any possibility of bringing some acquisition types back over? I'm just saying, we're always recruiting here.
Well, you know, and it's kind of funny. We had a major before, but Captain now, who's on the program there. They usually come from Monterey, right, out of the IT program there. And each one of them that comes across, my first sale is, so are you coming to acquisitions? Like, this could be you. And you know, they've had really good tours here, you know, and so we keep trying to get them over because we need more acquisition Marines on our side. Haven't sold one yet, but we continue to try.
Oh, man. Well, you need to start using McChris a little bit
we
more.
Do.
I'm just
we
saying.
Do.
So, listen, you've worked at CISCOM in and out of uniform for a few years. So, what is it about this place that motivates you? What would you say to somebody considering an opportunity at CISCOM or a career at CISCOM?
I'd say it's a job worth doing, right? And I say that kind of plainly. I got out of the Marine Corps medically in 2010. Still wanted to serve somehow and you know, with acquisition. And I think here, too, you see the impact of what you do, right? It's not always immediate, right?
Right,
we know sometimes
right.
programs take a long time, but you see the impact, you see what it does. And I think to me, knowing that someone's going to use this, you know, in the Marine Corps, it's special. You know what I mean? It's not every day, you know, you can make a widget anywhere, but this is actually something impactful. And I think that it really does mean something.
And I think in many ways you're fortunate because you get to see the fruits of your labor probably a lot quicker than most. I mean, we talked about a vehicle program, and some people worked on that program for 15 years and didn't see the light of day.
Never saw the vehicle.
So, yeah, well, that there is that too. So, well, listen, congratulations. I think it's wonderful work that you're doing. Hopefully people are paying attention, maybe picking your brain a little bit to get some more agile and some of these other systems that we do. And also congratulations on the AFSCA.
Thank you.
40 under 40 award. I just had to make sure I got that right.
I'll be out of that category soon.
I've been out of it for a while, so I'm not eligible for that award. Listen, I appreciate you making the time to talk to us about McChris and about some of the things you've been doing here at CISCOM. But before we let you go, there's a thing we do at the show here called the lightning round.
Okay.
Are you ready for a couple of hard questions?
I'll do my best.
All right, awesome. That's all I ask of the folks that come here. What's your favorite vacation spot?
Cedar Point, Amusement Park, Ohio.
Oh, wow. All right, right out there in the middle of the country. Are you from Ohio?
I am.
Oh, well, there you go. Going back home a little bit. What's a TV show, book, movie, or a podcast you'd recommend?
Honestly, when it comes to books, I like a lot of, right now, Gary Vaynerchuk and books that are more on emotional intelligence stuff.
Okay.
You know, kind of, the better you interact with people, the better you interact with your employees, things like that. It goes a lot further than the kind of some of the older styles. And with Agile, it's all about the people interaction. So that, and then there's lots of Agile books that I've read over the past couple of years.
Just don't make me do any homework and we'll be okay.
No, you'll be all right there. Yeah.
If you weren't doing what you're doing now, what would Jason Glavage be out there doing? Besides getting in trouble or something.
I mean, you know what? I love old stuff. So you know, I'd be, you know, grow up, you know, buying old stuff and fixing it.
Yeah.
I still do that now when I can. Time's a little different, but probably working in some sort of shop, you know, restoring old, you know, bikes or cars, stuff like that.
Listen, it's never too late. I got a toy sitting in the garage, so one of these days I'll get to it. So, I mean, it takes time.
It's always one of these days.
Absolutely. Listen, This is the tough one. This gets a lot of folks. If you could have any superpower, what would it be? And we are on the clock, by the way. So,
I'd have to pick the super. It'd be the ability to manipulate kinetic energy, like Gambit from X-Men.
There's a good one. Had not heard that one. Listen, Jason, great to catch up. Great to see you. Thanks again for making the time to be on the show. Best of luck. Best of success in the future endeavors there. And maybe we'll get you back on.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
All right. Well, this concludes another episode of Equipping the Core. I hope you've enjoyed our conversation today. If so, please take a couple minutes, leave us a review, subscribe, tell your friends about us. Until next time, Manny Pacheco signing off.